Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go. We're glad to have you tuning in on this third Sunday of Advent. Today we have a treat for you. We have our own Mariana Kilbride preaching on the angel telling Mary that she will bear the Son of God, Jesus Emmanuel, in a sermon entitled Bearing Light. And before we do that, I'd invite you to kind of settle in to an attitude and expectation of worship as we listen to Jenny Dalba sing for us, Mary, Did You Know?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you face of God? Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the one day rule the nations. Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am.
Good morning and Merry Christmas. Our main scripture today is the birth of Jesus foretold, and that is in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And while you're turning there, I want to just remind us to get our imaginations engaged that Nazareth, where the announcement of Jesus' birth takes place, is a dusty little hamlet, maybe 40 households, so tiny. And it's about a three-day journey from Jerusalem, really a nowheresville, not the expected place for anything of note to happen. Luke 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and wondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. I want to read just a bit of the opening of John 2 because it speaks to who Mary is birthing in eternal language that holds our time and Mary's time and everything between and beyond. So John 1, 1 through 5. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." The word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A few days before Thanksgiving, Kelly Antonsen and I went on a site visit. The location is for the upcoming YG trip, which is a secret from the kids until the big reveal later this month. So though you are 100 or 200 of my closest friends, that location must remain undisclosed. But even though I can't name the place, I can't get it out of my head. Because friends, I think I met Mary there. As is often the case on these site visits, our hotel was in a metropolitan area for convenience. We always need to identify big food suppliers and Home Depot type places. Then we head out to a more rural location, where the work sites will be, and where the teams stay on the actual trip. In this case, it was quite a hike. Luckily, we had a rather charming driver, because we did spend a bit more time on dirt roads than necessary. The GPS was having a hard time, and what I'd have to say was the fullest depiction I've ever seen of the expression, "the sticks." Sticks everywhere and only sticks everywhere. On the other side of all these sticks was a small town, as far removed from the city as Nazareth from Jerusalem. We met our contact there for the projects, Miss Hattie. Miss Hattie had grown up in the town, moved to a big city to pursue a lucrative career, but her mom got sick, and so she returned home to help for a while. Best laid plans, because God seemingly had something else in mind. The town had been sidelined by a big highway, resulting in the loss of opportunity on many fronts, and the poverty and disrepair that followed that. Miss Hattie felt compelled to help in some way. Household by household, she started trying to make things better bringing everyone up a little at a time, as she could find funding and someone to do the work. Often this was her husband, Ralph. He's the Joseph character in the story. You know the type, quietly supportive, always ready to saddle the donkey for a journey, or resourcefully finding a place to sleep if there's no room at the inn. Miss Hattie had several houses in mind she hoped we could work on, but there was one that was truly her baby. Ralph and Miss Hattie had renovated it from the ground up. The house had been an eyesore on the block, one that Hattie found incredibly depressing. She mentioned it every time they drove by. But Ralph, ever the can-do Joseph type, said, "How about we buy that and we can fix it up?" That was the birth of what they called Ava's House, which transformed the community in more ways than one. The loss of jobs in town had left many parents with a 2 or 3 hour bus ride to and from work each day in order to support their families. This meant their kids were on their own for several hours after school let out. Ava's House became their safe haven, an after-school enrichment program where they could do homework, arts and crafts, music, and play outside. So the renovated space not only lifted the looks of the neighborhood, it lifted the quality of life as well. Miss Hattie was showing us around Ava's House, pointing out what had been previously done and when, with stories of people who seemed miraculously to offer help just when it was needed. She stopped for a minute, leaned back against the wall, and looked around, seeming to be seeing something more. She said, "You know, we'd been planning to build a house in the city." I felt at that moment I'd fallen into deep time, centuries blurring and blending. I saw the cost of Miss Hattie saying yes to her calling, the loss of her own plans for a comfortable, cultural, fine dining life, like the one most of us want. But like Mary, she said to God, "Let it be with me, according to your word. Take it all, my life, my body, my soul." Mary had had plans, the same as many a young woman in first century Israel. Ancient promises of marriage were made practically from birth. Contracts laid out the arrangements, and they were fairly set in stone. Young women certainly did not change the arrangements. And for Mary to accept God's call would be to agree to live under the shadow of an unwed pregnancy in a day where a woman caught in adultery could be put to death. Why would she do that? God does not offer Mary an easy path, but Mary heard in God's call that the light she would bear in co-creation with God would transform the world. She decided to trust. The light Miss Hattie bears relies on trust too. She tells people she never worries herself with how things get paid for. People seem to find her and want to help. She just asks God for what they need. She finds great joy in seeing the lives around her transformed, more than the ephemeral happiness a certain lifestyle might have afforded. The two women, two ordinary women, centuries apart, different cultures, same trusting faith, two lives interrupted, both bearing God's life and God's light. Both able to sing out loud the song of Mary a few verses on, "My soul magnifies the Lord, My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on his humble servant with favor. Surely all will call me blessed. It is the infinite potential of us all. All the Marys and Josephs and Hatties and Ralphs, to hear God's call and to say yes, to live the challenging but very blessed and joyous life that God offers, to give birth to light that the darkness cannot overcome. Will you pray with me? Loving God, give us the courage and strength and trust to say yes to your will, to the joyous life you promise for all. Amen. Now may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.